I can imagine what you're all thinking. I have heard it all before. Sometimes behind my back, sometimes to my face. Who do I think I am, right? Having dinner with the rabbi Jesus as if I deserve such attention? Yeah. I know what you're thinking. I'm a tax collector. There. I said it. It's no use hiding it, not when I come knocking on your doors, asking for what you owe. I know you can't stand the sight of me. You probably don't even think of me as one of your own anymore, right? Just, I may as well be a Roman soldier asking you to, no, telling you to carry my bag for a mile. Aiding and abetting the occupiers, that's me. Well, what would you have done? You who have your sons to go out in your fishing boat with you, or you who can travel far to the next town where they can afford to pay you for their stonework, or you who can handle the heat of the day to harvest grapes all day. You have options. I didn't. I didn't have any way to feed my family, and no one else offered to help. So when the empire came knocking with an offer of work, well, I didn't say yes because I'm a terrible person. Someone was going to do the job anyway. The system is set in stone. Rome can never be brought down. I know you consider me a thief, a swindler. But the tax farmers don't give us a salary for doing their dirty work of collections. They make us understand that we have to collect our pay by collecting it in the midst of our work. So, yeah, collecting more than the tolls and taxes that are strictly required from you. It's just another honest day's work. Honest. Yeah, I don't like it, okay? But it's all I've got. It's all my family's got. And I was learning to deal with being shut out of all your dinners and your parties and being ignored in the street or worse. Maybe I was tempted to even start taking more money than I needed just to show you that I could. You think you have power with all of your shunning and shutting me out? Well, I'll show you power. And then I get invited to this dinner with an up-and-coming rabbi. I looked into the accounting, of course. I mean, how was Jesus paying for this? Well, he wasn't. There are these women who, well, prominent women who sometimes travel with him and pay for what he needs. One of them, Joanna, is the wife of Herod's manager. I wonder if Rome knows that. Well, I was curious about that, but I also just hadn't been invited to a dinner party in so long. There was no way I wasn't going. And when I got there, well, there were others like me, not all tax collectors, and I hadn't talked to all these people before, but the more that I did talk to them that night, I realized that we were all people that decent folk didn't really talk to either. I noticed as we went around, we all had the same protective armor up, just like waiting for someone to reject us so we could either jeer or storm off, explode. That's not what happened. Well, okay, there were some of these decent folk there, and they were not too happy to be at the same party with us. I don't know if they thought they were being discreet or if they wanted to make us feel like we were being scraped off the bottom of their sandals, but Pharisees and scribes were grumbling to each other about Jesus. This guy welcomes sinners and eats with them. Well, Jesus heard them. Or he knows their type, and he just knew what they were saying because, you know. And then he told these two stories that make no fiscal sense. I mean, they were ridiculous. I still don't know how he wants us to make sense of them. Because they can't mean, well, I'll tell you about them. So first, in this first story, there's a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep, and he's out grazing them, and he's pretty far from his sheepfold, right? When he realizes that one sheep is missing. Now, I know that this happens. Sheep tending is not a risk-free business. At moments like this, you just need to limit your losses and keep your end profit goal in mind. But Jesus says that the shepherd in his story would leave the 99, not home in their fence, you know, where they're protected, but leave them in the wilderness and go after that one missing sheep. I'm sorry, but you do not risk the remaining 99% of your holdings on the off chance that you can get that 1% back. I mean, there are wolves and crevices and sheep thieves and just sheep stupidity that would make them wander off even more. This is not a well-calculated risk. And then there's the second story, too. So there's a woman, quite the entrepreneur, because she's managed to save up 10 drachmas that she's just keeping at home. And then she loses one. A whole day's wages. So I'd be upset, too. But I'd be reasonable. I would plan for the possibility that it's gone for good and I might have to tighten my belt a bit before I get my nest egg back. I would at least wait for the light of morning before I start looking for it. But Jesus says that this woman immediately lights her lamp, spending costly oil, so that she can look for it right away at night. What if she doesn't find it? Then she's out a silver coin and an evening supply of oil. Too risky. But of course, in his story, she takes the risk and she finds the coin. And the shepherd defies the odd, and he finds the sheep. Oh, I forgot this. And then what do they both do? They don't lock their treasures up safely, that's for sure. They invite their neighbors over to celebrate. They throw a party because the one that they lost has been found. And I don't need to explain to any of you good folk about the requisite offerings of hospitality, the expectations the neighbors will have for a party. So they each lose and then find something of value to them. And to celebrate that they haven't lost their investment, they spend it on a celebration. Well, they wouldn't have had to tell their neighbors about this at all. They could have just kept it to themselves, kept their money to themselves, their capital. Jesus' stories, just, they made no economic sense. I mean, like, what is he even trying to teach us? It's as if, what am I supposed to believe? What, that God is like this? It doesn't make sense. Just so, I tell you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's what he said. God would, I'm not lost. I'm not part of you. I know that. And I understand very clearly that God is with you and not with me. But this teacher is saying that God would let the 99 who are safe take care of each other. Just on the off chance of bringing the sheep back home? No, bringing me back home. I wanted to come home. I just didn't think there was any way left. And those are the most ridiculous risks to take. There is no guarantee of return. But if someone took those risks for me, well, I guess I'd believe they really meant it. That nothing's quite right until I come home with the rest of you. I'm not saying I know how to quit my job. I'm stuck in this system. But I want to come home to my community. I want to be shown how to do that. If God can find me, can you help me find my way? If God would risk anything, do everything, just to come looking for me, would you risk coming to the party to welcome me home? Or can I come to the party to welcome you home?